Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.
You're listening to a Weeby Geeks Network podcast.
The Neverland Podcast, episode 117.
Up to Neverland!
Take a start of the right and stay until morning. Neverland!
Good morning, Neverland!
Take that pixie out of your pocket and sprinkle some of that pixie dust around. Grab your happiest thought. We're going to Neverland, and my goodness, I've got so many different things to dive into that, I've recorded segment here, segment there. I had actually even recorded the entire show already this week, and I had a recorder that failed to where I was trying to have Lost Boy Eric on me, with me this week, but it didn't quite work out that well. I tried out a new recorder. It didn't work out so good. But that's okay. We are still here. And oh my goodness, we could dive right in and we could talk about some Oscar news. But I'm not too concerned about that. There's definitely, you know, some things to look for. I mean, we got some Disney animated and some Pixar animated that's involved in the Best Animated Feature. But, you know, I haven't really paid attention to the Oscars in a long time. But what we could also talk about is Disneyland's 60th anniversary special last Sunday night, and one of the things they shared was a little bit about the new Star Wars experience, and of course we're going to talk about that during our Disney Park news. We of course are going to welcome Pixie Heather, also known as the Windy Nerd. She is going to join me in a movie review of Eddie the Eagle, which, yes, I know it's not a Disney movie, but it's definitely got some Disney quality to it, and it's I think you'll enjoy the review. I'll tell you whether or not you'll enjoy the movie later when we do the review. Joining us in the trailer park this week will be Lost Boy Philip, as we're going to take a look at the trailer that they showed during the 60th anniversary show for Pete's Dragon. We're also going to dive into a fun attraction with Eric, because he has sent us lots of new Disneyland audio. And also, you know, I really got a crack in there. I've got a lot of audio that Lost Boy Jesse has shared with us that I still haven't shared with you. We've got so much Disney audio that I really am going to share as much as I can. We're also, of course, going to have some fun in the Neverland storybook, also with Pete's Dragon. And, of course, we've got an interesting bit of movie news to talk about with an announcement that we've heard this week and what it may mean for some of our favorite characters from Marvel Studios, and if anything is going to be changing, do we think. All of this is coming. I didn't really list it out in the order it's all going to happen, but we got so much fun to have and so many different things to talk about this week. Really, I figure we just should get started. How about it? Let's go!
This is Gary Gnu, and the No Gnu's is Good Gnu's Show, the only TV Gnu's program guaranteed to contain no Gnu's whatsoever.
Neverland news from the Disney parks.
All right, first thing is, of course, some great Disney park news. My goodness. We, of course, did get to see the Star Wars experience. We got to see some of the same things, I think, that we saw for D23, if you managed to look online and see some of the things they revealed during D23. But they animated some of the artwork we had seen before and gave us a glimpse of, some design computer footage, so we kind of got a little bit of an inside glimpse. But the thing that caught my attention is we heard a little bit more about this Millennium Falcon experience or attraction ride, you're actually going to get to pilot and fire the lasers and stuff in some sort of an adventure. Now, what this brings to mind for me is Mission Space. Now, Mission Space, of course, you have four people who are given different roles in a ship, and you all have a predetermined video, basically, you're doing, and you're told to commence with a certain action at certain times. And I was thinking, well, normally on the Millennium Falcon, you have two people who can fit in the cockpit, and a pilot and a co-pilot. and then you have two people working cannons on the upper and lower side, or if you happen to be flying sideways, you know, so you can get that shot if the gun happens to be stuck, you know, you'd be on the sides. So I'm thinking that you could probably fit about four people on this, on, well, in each, I'm sure there's going to be more than one, you know, simulator or whatever, but I figure four at a time will be working together, have a position, and how interactive this will be, don't know, but I have a feeling you're going to have some various adventures, and you'll have a task to do during the course of the adventure. You know, I mean, it could be a whole thing with just one person. You each get to have, maybe a family gets to experience together in the cockpit or something like that. But, you know, this is kind of where I'm seeing this going. It's like, well, hey, this guy is this gunner, this guy is this gunner, and this person's this pilot, and this person's this co-pilot, and so everybody has different functions. And so you could come back and ride it multiple times and get in for, you know, doing different jobs like people do for Mission Space. That's possible of what this could be, but all they've really said is you're going to get a chance to pilot and fire the guns on the Millennium Falcon. Also, they did talk about something we knew about, where the First Order has arrived, and another attraction puts you right in a battle between the First Order and the Resistance, which also looks like a lot of fun. And I think they're definitely taking cue from Universal, where the Wizarding World of Harry Potter really immerses you into that world. This, you know, as they called it the Star Wars experience, and we know that they're going to have cast members that are going to be droids and aliens and people from in the world. You're going to step in there, and you're just going to be part of this planet. With all these fun adventures to have. So if we weren't excited about this before, I think we're definitely getting more excited as this goes on. Another little fun bit of information that just came out is that Disney is going to be adopting a seasonal price on a one-day ticket. And I guess there is going to still be package values, but they're going to look, because of visitation, and we all know that there are peak seasons. And, well, I figure we all know that, right? There are peak times, like, you know, during the, let's say, May, June, July is more of a peak thing as summer begins and people go off on their vacation. But around August, things slow down because people go back to school, you know, the teachers, the students, things like that. Christmas picks up, you know, around December. We know also that October is going to pick up, you know, for Halloween time. But then it also falls off back, like in January. You know, so there's variance in the visitors. And so they're going to actually adjust the pricing of single-day tickets and packages around these peak times. So this could be a good thing. This could make it a little easier for you to afford a ticket, perhaps, to go at certain times. So maybe, you know, if they lower the prices around the non-peak times, maybe it'll encourage more people to come into the parks at those times. I'm sure there's a plan. Right now, I have not seen a listing of what these prices are going to be and the different fluctuations. But I think this also gives them more freedom to fluctuate, you know, the prices depending upon trends. They can go in and just change it, and they don't have to keep telling us, oh, yep, we raised their overall prices again, and have us all go, what? I couldn't afford it before, and now I really can't afford it. But, you know, this could work out very nicely, I think, though, because I don't think they're going to want the prices to go up too much. I think that they know where they can, you know, raise and lower some prices to encourage more people to the parks, and I think that's what they're aiming for. Also, as of course we all know, Luigi's Flying Tires over in Cars Land in the Disney's California Adventure apparently didn't go very well, and so it has now been replaced with a new ride, Luigi's Rollickin' Roasters. It's presented by Alamo, and it's going to open on March 7th. This is really cool. It's Luigi's cousins from Carsoli, Italy. They have come for a special celebration in Radiator Springs, and they're all getting together and doing traditional traditional Italian dances, apparently. And so you get to ride in one of these cars, and it's a trackless ride system, and the cars were going to go together and do this dance. Now, to fully understand this, you know, I really couldn't explain it anymore. You know, they have a video on the Disney Parks blog, and it's up on YouTube, and you should really go take a look at this. This is almost like being a part of a Broadway musical. All these cars are dancing in this nice, fun patterns, and sometimes apparently you'll be in the middle and everybody will dance around you, and it can be different every time you ride because every car is a unique person. Well, a car, I guess, but they have their own names and personalities. So it's really cool. But to best explain this, I don't think I can really do it justice. I want to play for you the audio of the video that I've got on Disney Parks blog about this, where the Imagineers talk about what they've done here, and you get to hear a sample of some of the music. And I tell you, this is the cutest looking ride I've ever seen with a bunch of cars in it, and I really want to get over there and give this a ride. So here is the audio from their video.
Just singing for you while we go rollicking in Radiator Springs. At Imagineering, we're always on the lookout to find new ways to tell new stories, especially in a place as rich and loved as Cars Land. And we felt this was a great opportunity to bring Luigi's cousins over from Carsoli, Italy, to be here for Race Day in Radiator Springs.
USA, the day I go on to the boat to sail across the sea.
Guests will ride along with our dancing cousins as they go through their dance moves inspired by Italian folk dances that they learned back in their village of Carsoli. You'll see that 20 of Luigi's cousins have come over from Carsoli, Italy, and they all have their own unique personality. They all have their own names. They have different paint colors, paint styles. Some have luggage racks. The boys have mustache grills. We have 5 different songs they'll be dancing along to, and each ride is going to be different and unique.
There are 18 individual paths that the vehicles run on. Regardless of what color vehicle you are on, they will switch paths on every run. And some of the paths are very unique and will take you into the center of the dance floor where all the other cars are dancing around you. We have designed 2 special vehicles to accommodate our guests with disabilities and so that they are able to enter the cars and enjoy the attraction with their families as well.
Being part of the opening team and seeing the attraction being built from ground up is just a once-in-a-lifetime experience because, again, not everybody gets to see this happen. Working with Walt Disney Imagineering is a great experience as well because we get to meet everyone that gets to breathe life into this attraction, this experience, and it's just such a great partnership.
The thing that I'm most excited about this attraction is that it is designed for the entire family.
So all of us on the attractions project team are super excited to invite all the guests to come in and see what everybody has done. We're so proud of the attraction, and we just can't wait for everybody to dance with all the cousins.
Ciao, Bella!
There'll be spectacle, there'll be fantasy, there'll be daring do and stuff like you would never see.
Yeah, we're gonna be a movie
starring everybody
and me.
Boy, I wish I were you people seeing this for the first time.
Kermit, I got a great picture of the chicken.
Oh, good.
I was in the hospital for a year when I was a kid. All the doctors said I should give up sports.
Where do you think you're going, young man?
The Olympics.
You better take this. Put your medals in.
Thanks, Mum.
For as long as I can remember, it has been my ambition to become an Olympian.
Yeah. Eddie, you are not an athlete.
I just needed to find the right sport.
Britain hasn't had a ski jumper since 1929.
I'm going to be a ski jumper.
He's going to break his neck.
I'm going to break his neck.
The time to start jumping is when you're 5 or 6.
I heard you were a champion, so I was thinking maybe you could give me a few tips.
Give up? There's one for free.
Watch this guy, number 2 in the world. And he knew what he was doing.
It's not actually going to jump, is it?
You're not going to give up, are you?
You want your moment, Eddie? You got to do this for real.
Our strategy will best be described as ugly but effective.
The Olympics is associated with certain qualities, excellence, achievement. They have no desire to associate with defeat.
You're a disgrace to the sport.
Good.
Personal best, and we're a disgrace!
Mr. Edwards.
Your jump doesn't count.
Because you just changed the rules. Don't I have a right to represent my country?
No.
My dreams turned into a nightmare.
It's a world that doesn't want to know you.
So what's new? British Olympic Association is trying to stop me. I have to do this.
The press all want to hear your story.
I was kicked off every team I was ever on before I even got a chance to prove myself. I take jumping very seriously, nearly as much as proving people wrong.
And where do you think you're going?
The Olympics.
I thought you might need this.
It's higher than you jumped before, faster than you've gone before.
You can break bones. You're lucky if you can walk again.
As your coach, I think you're crazy. But as your friend, fly.
You're Eddie the Eagle.
Okay, so, granted it's not a Disney film, but we went and saw Eddie the Eagle, which was close enough to a Disney film. It takes place in the exact same Olympics as Cool Runnings, and actually even has a similar plot to Cool Runnings, but that's not a bad thing.
Nope, it was really good. I gave it 4 tissues.
Yeah, because that's exactly how many tissues she went through during the course of the movie.
Yes.
Which is usually actually a pretty good rating scale, if you know Heather. That means she got emotionally involved with it. And they do a very good job. And I looked in the credits, they got 2 brothers, one a little younger than the other, to play Eddie Edwards, or Michael Eddie Edwards.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if Eddie is a nickname or his middle name, though, because it might have been, you know, they just called him Eddie for his last name, Edwards. They might have just called him Eddie. I'm not sure how he got where he was being known by that. They didn't really go into it, but it was kind of curious. I didn't realize his first name was really Michael until they started using it when he does make it to the Olympics. I won't tell you what happens at the Olympics because I don't want to spoil that.
Well, I bet they could probably guess. I mean,
no, unless you remembered from 1988, like, because I don't remember what happened. I didn't know how things were going to go once he got there. You know, going into the movie, I don't know anything about him. I was just going along for the ride.
Yeah.
So you know, not knowing what's going on, but. You're gonna throw me right off my point, but they had these 2 brothers that was playing the younger version. That's pretty much what the opening credits are, is watching him as a boy and growing up, and they endear the character to you right from the start.
Yep, he's you know, your typical underdog. Nobody really wants to have much to do with him. They think he's a loser, you know, always, and that theme runs through the whole movie, and he has to prove everybody wrong that, you know. But that's part of what gives him his heart and ends up endearing him to, like, the world, basically.
Yeah, is him being who he is. But, yeah, it starts out, he dreams of being an Olympic athlete, but has absolutely no real athletic ability for all the things he tries to do.
And he's not even really sure, like, what competition he wants to go in. He just
he's trying everything.
So he starts with, like, you know, track and field.
If you've
seen
everything,
the trailer, but... you know, you see him, like, putting the javelin or whatever
through the window. And this is after he's done all these different things and fell down, and it shows him breaking all his glasses all the time.
Which I
like that he's putting his broken glasses in the box his mother gives him for his medals, because the broken glasses really do symbolize how he really is kind of winning at the struggle of going to the Olympics as he keeps persevering. He's got this optimism there's times, you know, he's human. There's times he really does kind of, you know, get a little down, but he's always got this optimism and this courage that he's just not going to quit and he's always going to try. And he takes even the smallest successes as a big gain, and he gets excited about it, which plays heavily into the how things go for him.
Well, yeah, like, as he's making progress.
But don't say too much.
Well, I can say this. Like, as he's making progress, you know, he gets one win, and he's like, okay, I'm ready for the next, you know, big
thing. Yeah, always looking for the next challenge.
So, you know, it's really endearing in that way. Mm-hmm. And it even, I mean, you know, if you've seen the trailer, you know, like, he's got Hugh Jackman, his character as a coach, you know. And
well, not makes really a coach, because he tells him flat out, so I am not your coach.
Well, okay, whatever. But
he is his best friend, I'd say.
He does end up being kind of that way, too. Yeah. He does mentor him and things like that. So, I mean, he even makes a difference in his life. It just seems like, even though people, you know, a lot of these athletes and stuff, oh, I don't know you, you're a joke. He ends up really touching everybody's life that he comes into contact with.
Yeah, and a lot of people that you wouldn't think that, you know, because there's a guy kind of near the beginning that's I guess he was like the star of ski jumping from Norway, Manny. And, you know, when you first meet him, he seems like he's going to be kind of a jerk. And you don't see a whole lot of him through most of the movie, but he's got a nice return appearance that you're like, oh, wow, I didn't expect this. You know, so he kind of redeems himself. But the nice thing is Hugh Jackman's character, they just call him Peary. His name is Bronson Peary. He was an Olympic ski jumper previously who kind of fell out of grace. Yeah, for the United States. He kind of fell out of grace with his instructor, with his coach. And so there's even a nice redemption story for him, because he's known as basically the drunk that cleans the snow up at this great thing in Germany where everybody comes to train for ski jumping. And it is nice to get to see, because it would seem this completely unbelievable story if they hadn't showed him as he grows up, after he decides, oh, wow, I want to go for the Winter Olympics and I'm going to learn to ski. And you show him as a boy when he learns to ski, and you see that he wins some competitions as a boy with schools and stuff like that. So you get an establishment that, yeah, he did learn to ski, but ski jumping, of course, is a different matter.
Downhill. His sport was downhill, and you see him.
And he thought he was going to go for that.
Yeah. But then you, like, I mean, if you've seen the trailer, you know, like, the Olympic Committee is really down on him.
Which we did recognize an actor in there, Tim McInerney, who played Percy in Blackadder. Good at playing a real uppity British jerk.
Yeah.
Also recognized Jim Broadbent from the Harry Potter films, or at least those last few. I forgot.
He played Slugworth.
Professor Slugworth.
Slugworth, yeah.
No, Slugworth. I don't think it was the right
Slugworth.
Name.
Slughorn.
Well, no, that was the other guy, I thought.
It was the potions master.
Oh, because it was the Slug Club. So yeah, it's Slug something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Slugworth is from Willy Wonka. Sorry.
Yeah, I mean, you're going the wrong way, but you got the right idea. But yeah, so we recognized him in there. And I'm sorry, I forgot the name of the actor who played Eddie as he's grown up. After they've shown the title and finished the credits, we get the grown up Eddie. He did such a great, awkwardness to the character to make him this. He was basically the lovable nerd, like that's always picked last in sports and everything. He's exactly what we needed him to be, and he'd kind of stick his jaw forward. Which at the ending credits, when you get to see photos of Eddie Edwards, he did have a notable jaw, and you can see he was not a particularly handsome guy. He was kind of an awkward guy, but he just has a great spirit and a great heart. And that's really what drives this movie. Is you want him to succeed because you can relate to him of just. But he's very encouraging because of the courage he has to try some of the things. And I don't want to tell you how it ends, but his courage is really what wins out.
Well,
in the end.
At the end when, he does make it to the Olympics, and I didn't, as we were watching that scene, I can remember being a kid and, I'm thinking, this looks so familiar because we watched the Olympics all the time as a kid. And I know I watched the 88 Calgary Olympics, and I watched the ski jump. And so, like, some of the stuff as they were going through the commentary. Yeah, well, the commentators were talking about, this is the flying fin, and that's and this guy and Eddie the Eagle, and it sounded familiar. So I think I actually did watch it, but as an 8-year-old, you wouldn't understand the significance of it. And now
it was
coming
more
on the other side
for Britain, than it was for us, because it was a big deal for Britain because they hadn't had an Olympic ski jumper since they say like 1920 something.
Yeah, but it was televised. Like I remember like watching the flying fin, and then the British guy or whoever afterwards that was kind of ant. Like I remember that, but I don't remember any of the, like, made the connection until we saw the movie, and then it kind of came back.
And there is a really nice shout out to Cool Runnings, actually. At one point, you hear the radio saying that there's competition for winning the hearts of Olympians, and that's from the Jamaican bobsled team. And I'm like, yay! And because I did mention there are similar plots, some of you were probably thinking, oh, I wonder if it's similar in that way, and I'm not going to tell you. I think he came out a lot better, though, than the Jamaican bobsled team. But Jamaican bobsled team won hearts for being better than anybody thought they would be, which is similar. But the Jamaican bobsled team, they came out a little worse for wear. But they were heroes because they persevered after they picked up that bobsled when they wrecked in Cool Runnings.
I think you just gave it all
away,
dear.
I'm just going to tell you, he'll make it. But I won't tell you how he does.
Okay, whatever.
Because he's going to make it.
Mm-hmm.
When it comes down, and it's a really great moment, but I won't tell you how he did in the Olympics. But it's a really good feel good, real inspiring type of movie. And it really falls into that. Here we go. Here's your Disney connection. It's that Walt Disney thing. If you can dream it, you can do it. He had a dream of going to the Olympics, and he just wasn't going to quit until he got there. And as you can already see in the commercials, he does make it. And then what he does there is a great achievement, and he really won the hearts of Britain and everybody in the audience. You're really going to pull for this. Yeah, in the world,
The world, really.
But, no one else in the world really, I think, understood the significance when watching of what he was doing. Compared to what they knew in Britain, like, oh my gosh, a ski jumper in Britain?
Britain would have really
sure
felt
meant
it, but
a lot
there was
more.
Enough coverage to be coverage
there,
of him.
Yeah. But definitely a worth going, and this is definitely a family-friendly. I think there was only maybe one minor swear word in the entire thing. The only thing we might caution parents is there is one scene, and they make it kind of a humorous, where he's going to ask for help in a sauna where a bunch of men are in this sauna, and there is a shot, and they're trying to be funny, where everything's covered. Well, let's call it like an Austin Powers type scene, where everything's covered, but you see enough you can tell there's a bunch of naked guys and from the side or whatever, which really wasn't necessary, except for they make it a joke later, because there is a joke. It's like, you want to be as good as Eddie the Eagle, put on some clothes. So it is kind of a joke for later, but I think that's probably how they earned their PG-13. But it is worth bringing the family to. But be forewarned, there is that scene. So if you're going to be concerned about that with your children, then there it is. But definitely the spirit of Walt Disney was in this film. So I think any Disney fan would enjoy this.
I agree.
Mom! Mama, another gator got in the house.
Another gator? Give me that sugar. Come here.
Get him, Mama. Get that gator.
The Neverland Trailer Park.
About the boy.
You know, word travels in this town. How long has he been out there?
6 years.
You don't survive in a forest for 6 years alone.
He says he wasn't alone.
So that is the trailer that was showed for Disneyland 60, the new Pete's Dragon. And if Bryce Dallas Howard had not come out and said, oh, here is the new trailer for the Pete's Dragon, I would not have thought this was Pete's Dragon. And of course, I'm here with Lost Boy Philip, because I know you've got a family love for this
one. Oh, yes. I had toys of it growing up. I adore Elliot the Dragon. I adore the original Pete's Dragon. And I have hope for the new film, but I just saw the trailer. And it makes me think,
what is this movie supposed to be?
But my question is it going to be serious? Because
yes.
It looks to me like it's Pete Tarzan.
Yeah.
And but that being said,
it could have been the Jungle Book from the look of it.
I'm not going to judge it until I see it. Yeah. It comes out just right before my
August.
Birthday,
yeah, so right before your
2 days before. So I intend to see it while I'm out of town, hopefully.
Yeah.
And I hope it's going to be good. I really do. I hope that, you know, the truth be told, there's no way they can, in my opinion, top the first one.
No kidding.
With music and everything of that first movie. Which is
Jim Dale as Dr. Terminus. I didn't see anything indicating Dr. Terminus is in this story.
No, me neither. And
because it does look like they're taking this way too seriously. They've lost the charm of Elliot being a cartoon having his fun little and the fun little songs. I hope it's still in there, because all we got to see is the little flight.
What I was reading about it was that it's not going to be a musical, but they said there is going to be a few flashbacks of that, maybe like, you know, nods to the old. So I have a feeling you're going to hear the kid hum or something. If it's anything like Parent Trap, the remake, which was end up being, in my opinion, just as good, if not better, than the original. So
I actually didn't watch that. I'm not a fan of Lindsay Lohan.
Well, this is before she was well known.
Yeah, so, but I wasn't really even a fan of the original movie. Really,
I love both. I love both. But the fact is, and Dennis Quaid to me makes that film great. The remake, and I love Brian Keith in the first one. But as far as this new movie goes of Pete's Dragon,
you think Robert Redford can save it?
Well, he's an honorable actor, and there's a few other ones like what's his name plays Bones in the new Star Trek films, Kurt.
Yeah, Lord of the Rings, Carl Urban.
Yes.
Urban? Yeah. So there's a country singer last name. This Keith Urban is a country singer. I don't know if they're related, but that confuses the daylights out of me.
Either way, he's a good actor.
He's awesome.
Save it. But we'll see.
Okay. I didn't know he was in that. I wonder if he's maybe some version of Dr. Terminus.
Well, maybe. There's a couple other actors who could be that are in there. Gogans aren't in it. I know that.
Oh, so no redneck hillbilly family to chase him down, even though they were part of the fun of the movie.
Well, what they said was that nowadays you can't have that because a child being
somebody be offended or
well
something.
A child being they said beaten and treated badly, but I'm sitting there thinking, in my opinion, nowadays that'd be even bigger and would work more because people are so touchy about that type of thing.
Yeah.
So to me, it would work even better now than
that. Yeah, they could show them as being full out abusive. But then, of course, if you go too far with that to make it work, you make it more serious than
and you don't have to show anything.
Yeah, you don't have to show anything.
You could just say.
But it feels like they need to lighten the tone up. I mean, because now you got Bryce Dallas Howard looks like she's supposed to be a park ranger now. That's so you're taking the lighthouse out of there. So it looks like, you know, forget everything you loved about the original movie. And
here's what I always dreamed of. I know I'm silly, but here's what I always dreamed of. I always dreamed of a remake of the musical that would have someone like Gary Oldman as Dr. Terminus.
Oh, that'd be so cool. Would have had
Jerry Van Dyke as Hoagie, and Dick Van Dyke could have taken Mickey Rooney's part. And people like that, I thought would have been really great in that kind of film.
Something like that.
It would have been fun. You know?
And, you know, I don't mind a computer animated dragon.
Makes it for Mrs. Gogan.
Oh, goodness. But, see, I don't mind a computer animated dragon. I just hope it's Elliot.
Yes.
Because Elliot, it's just a charming character. He's what kind of helps sell that movie. So as long as it keeps some of the personality of Elliot and some of the fun of Elliot, and we haven't gotten to see that yet. So this teaser really just teased us a little bit, and we're really going to have to see another trailer before I guess we can form a full opinion.
Now, she did say on an interview that he has a fuzzy tail, like a hairy tail. So, but it looks to me like it's green still. It's supposed to be like, it's just trying to make it look a little more, if you want to say realistic, but it's a dragon.
It's a dragon. It's not going to look that realistic.
What I like about the Imaginary Dragon is he's not really imaginary. And I'm talking about, at least in the original.
Yeah, everybody thinks it's imaginary.
1977, if you haven't seen it now, God help you.
Go see it. You know, if you haven't seen it, go see it, because it wasn't a movie that was a big blockbuster hit.
No, but they brought it back. But it was still really good. 1984, I believe it was, or was it 85? They brought it back.
It was when Gremlins was out, because I remember when we went to the theater, it was there in one screen, and we decided to go to Gremlins, so I didn't know what Pete's Dragon was.
We went to see it. My dad and mother loved the original. It came out at a time when I was a baby and they needed a day together. They went out, somebody had paid for it for them to go and just get away. And they went and saw that film, and they said they walked out of that movie feeling so good, so happy, that it really lifted my father's spirits, who was a young pastor at the time. He kind of needed that, get away from reality and get to the fun of Disney. And that's what he did. Yeah. And said the songs had him feeling so good. And they went out and bought the soundtrack. We had the record for years.
Wow.
And still have it somewhere? I don't know. I haven't been able to find it, but I've been wanting to get the soundtrack. I love it. I mean, it's just a great, great, great film. And then when they brought it out, for some reason, the second time, they took some of the scenes out of the movie, like they were trying to cut back. And so they took out the Gogan singing their song in the beginning and all these things. And then later on, and I knew the song only because of the soundtrack.
Yeah.
And then later on, when it came out on to the video, of course, we had a copy of that for years and years. And I just absolutely love that film. So I hope the new one's good. I will say this. The animation looks good from what little I've seen in it. Yeah. It looks good. But I do hope it has some of the charm. At least it's got some good actors in it. I'll say that.
And speaking of the soundtrack, I think we ought to listen to a track from it. And after that, it's time for the Neverland Story Time, which, guess what? I have a story of the old book of Pete's Dragon. So we'll take a listen to that as well.
This is your Neverland Story Time. You can listen along with your MP3 device. You will know it is time to listen when you hear the chime like this. Let's begin now.
This is the story of Pete's Dragon. You can read along with me in your book. You will know it is time to turn the page when you hear the chimes ring like this. Let's begin now. Unless you happen to know Pete, you may not believe there really is such a thing as a dragon named Elliot. But there is. In fact, Elliot is Pete's very best friend. And this is the story of what happened to Pete and Elliot in a small town called Passamaquoddy. You see, Pete didn't have a mother and father to take care of him. He was an orphan. So Elliot decided he would take care of Pete himself. Elliot was a fine-looking dragon. He had lovely green scales and purple wings. Like all dragons, he could fly, puff up his cheeks, and breathe fire, and speak dragon talk. But Elliot could also make himself invisible. And not every dragon can do that. Pete thought his dragon was a perfectly wonderful friend.
You sure changed my life, Elliot. I didn't think I'd ever be happy until I met you.
As the two friends headed for Passamaquoddy, Pete said,
"Now, Elliot, we want people here to like us. But most folks are sort of scared of dragons at first. So you better make yourself invisible for a while."
And with a skip and a bip, Elliot did just that.
"Remember,"
whispered Pete as they marched down the main street of town,
"behave yourself and watch where you swing your tail."
In Dragon Talk, Elliot said he would be very careful. But a second later, he stepped right into a new sidewalk of wet cement. Pete took one look at the footprints and moaned.
"Elliot, look what you're doing!"
Elliot quickly jumped out of the cement and accidentally smashed a picket fence with his tail. The noise frightened the egg seller and the milkman's horse, and soon there were broken eggs and spilled milk everywhere.
"Come on, Elliot. I've got to get you out of Passamaquoddy before you wreck the whole town."
Pete and Elliot ran toward the rocky cliffs along the coastline. Here stood the tall Passamaquoddy lighthouse, whose bright beam of light warned passing ships of the jagged rocks below. In the side of a cliff down by the pounding surf, Pete found a cave big enough for Elliot.
"We'll stay here for a few days."
And the two friends soon made themselves comfortable. Before long, Pete heard a voice calling from the cave entrance.
"Hello in there."
Elliot quickly disappeared as a very pretty lady peered into the dark cave.
"Hi, I'm Nora."
Pete smiled shyly.
Hello. I'm Pete."
"This cave isn't a very nice place to stay,"
said Nora.
"Why don't you come up to the lighthouse and stay with my dad and me?"
Pete smiled.
"Okay, that sounds great."
As he left the cave, Pete whispered to Elliot,
"You stay here while I look around."
When Nora and Pete reached the lighthouse, a man with a white beard was waiting.
"Who's this young fellow, Nora?"
"Dad, this is Pete. He's going to stay here with us for a few days."
Pete shook hands.
"Pleased to meet you, sir."
"Just call me Lampy. Welcome aboard, Pete."
Early the next morning, even before Nora and Lampy were awake, Pete ran down the cliff to Elliot's cave.
"Nora's swell,"
he reported to the interested dragon.
"And so is Lampy. I told them all about you, but I don't think they believe in you."
Pete was right. Nora and Lampy thought dragons only existed in fairy tales. One day, Pete came to the cave wearing a brand new suit.
"Hi, Elliot. Nora is taking me to start school today. Do you want to come along?"
Elliot sure did. He turned invisible and followed Pete to the schoolhouse. In fact, Elliot was so excited that he tried to talk to Pete through the classroom window.
"Shh, Elliot. I've got to study now."
"Pete, who are you talking to?"
demanded the teacher.
"I'm sorry. I was shushing my dragon, Elliot."
"When I ask you a question, young man, I expect a truthful answer. Now go stand in the corner."
From the look on Miss Taylor's face, Elliot could see that Pete was in trouble. "Pete needs me," Elliot thought, crashing right through the side of the schoolhouse. The wall collapsed, and so did Miss Taylor.
"Uh-oh,"
Pete gulped.
"Elliot's done it again."
Soon the whole town was blaming Pete for the strange accidents. The schoolhouse, the cement, the picket fence, the eggs. They had all happened when Pete was there. The fishermen even started to blame him when they didn't catch any fish. Everybody said that Pete was a jinx. That night, Pete was worried.
"I won't be able to stay in Passamaquoddy after what Elliot did today."
"Cheer up, Pete,"
said Nora.
"Lampy and I won't let anyone make you leave."
Outside, a terrible storm was brewing. Huge bolts of lightning flashed across the sky. Lampy looked concerned.
This is going to be a mighty bad storm. We'd better check the light upstairs. The ships will certainly need it tonight.
All three of them rushed up the lighthouse steps. At the top, Nora exclaimed,
"Oh no, the lamp is out!"
"The storm has broken the glass,"
said Lampy.
"The wick is wet. We'll never get it lit."
Through the flashes of lightning, Nora could just make out a ship tossing wildly on the ocean.
"Dad, a ship! Without the light, it's sure to hit the rocks."
Suddenly, Pete had an idea.
"Elliot can help."
As Pete rushed out of the lighthouse, Nora shouted,
"Pete, come back! How can a make-believe dragon help save the ship?"
But Pete was already running toward Elliot's cave through the raging storm.
"Elliot, wake up! We need you at the lighthouse!"
Elliot jumped up, and Pete climbed on his back. They struggled out through the pouring rain.
"Come on, Elliot! I know you're kind of big, but you'll have to squeeze up the lighthouse stairs. We've got to keep trying,"
said Nora to her father.
"If we don't..."
Nora stopped. She saw Pete, and there beside him was Elliot's big green face.
"He's real. There really is a dragon."
"Of course,"
said Pete.
"He's going to light the lamp."
Elliot puffed up his cheeks and blew a tremendous blast of flame. Lit immediately, and a bright beam of light shot out through the darkness.
"Elliot, you did it!"
Lampy peered out to sea.
"Look! The ship is turning away from the jagged rocks. It's safe now."
Nora smiled at Elliot.
"I thought you were just a make-believe dragon, but now I can see you're a real live hero."
At that, Pete's green dragon blushed a bright red. The next day, both Pete and Elliot were heroes. In fact, the mayor of Passamaquoddy gave Elliot a beautiful gold medal for breathing fire above and beyond the call of duty. Pete hugged Elliot.
"Gosh, you're terrific. I wish everyone could have a dragon for a friend."
"I look in your eyes and you whisper sweetly, 'We don't match in size, but we fit so neatly. It's nice waking up when you're close beside me, humming in my ear.'" "You're joking. I can't believe it. You do? I love you too. Remember the night when you first confided, so right that we both decided. Now we're together and life is perfect. Don't ever disappear."
"Oh, really? Oh, you're just saying. Is it true?
A dragon, I swear I saw a dragon, a green and seething, fire-breathing monster is in sight, with eyes of red, a lion's head, and wings as dark as night. Oh, he has a jaw of gleaming teeth, he's 50 feet in height. It's true, it's true, oh, what are we to do? It's true, it's true, he'll break us all in two. Oh, he's coming in, his great big fin, he's right against the door, so board up all the windows and get down on the floor.
a dragon, I swear I saw a dragon. His tail lashing, he'll be smashing every shop in town. With scaly feet, he'll crack the street and tear the steeple down. It's not some loony dream, I heard a scream from Sheriff Brown. It's true, it's true, oh what are we to do? It's true, it's true,
oh life is in a stew.
A dragon, oh life is all a dragon.
Your attention, please.
Disney Movie News.
Okay, for movie news this week, the main thing I really want to get into was the announcement that they're planning to release an R-rated version of Batman vs. Superman, The Dawn of Justice, on straight home video. Apparently because of the success of Deadpool, because right now it is one of the top grossing R-rated movies of all time. And so it makes people wonder if there's going to be a trend, because Fox has said, oh, well, Wolverine, we can go R-rated with that.
He didn't want to do that. Hugh Jackman said, not while I'm Wolverine.
Well, he's not going to be with Trix one more movie. True, so when he's gone, who knows what they'll do.
I got to say, I admire that about him.
Yeah. I like Hugh Jackman. He's a cool guy. Yeah. And also his new movie, by the way, Eddie the Eagle, which you've heard a review, by the way, everybody else listen to this show, but I'm telling Philip right now, so good. So good. So, but Fox has always, even with PG-13, you're allowed to have one F word. And maybe you show one bare backside. And Fox has been slowly pushing that. And now that they can get something with R-rated, you know they're going to push as much as they can. And we might use R-rated X-Men movies.
That's a shame, because the fact of the matter is it is supposed to be family entertainment. Now, I know
it's supposed to be.
Coming from me, and a lot of people think that this guy, you know, he's so stuck on morals. Well, the thing is, people can say anything they want to, that words don't matter, but they do. In fact, tomorrow I'll be talking about that. I'm a pastor, incidentally. And I'll be talking about that.
We all know Lost Boy Phil, don't we, right?
I'm a pastor, and the truth matter is not everybody is this way. They don't care so much about words, but everybody, whether they want to admit or not, is very sensitive about certain words, whether it be a curse word or whether it be a word that offends, words that quite honestly should not offend most of the time. The fact of the matter is everybody has words that offend them. That's just how it is. And if you're overweight, you don't want to hear the word fat. I know, because I used to be 500 pounds. I'm not that now.
Yeah.
So all I'm saying is that everybody has words that offend them, whether they want to admit it or not. And it to me, it's offensive that I can't take my nephews or nieces to go see these films when they have rated R, unless I've seen it myself first. And no. Because
why did they get the R?
That's why.
And when
that's
I went right. to it, I was expecting, okay, it's going to have some humor, and it probably hasn't already because it's going to be violent. And so he's going to swear. But the word I'm going to use for what else was in there was explicit. I did not expect some of the explicit content that I didn't know it was going to be there. I I'm not a fan of Deadpool, and I think they put some of that content in there because not only the Deadpool fans just expect and want that, but it also helped kind of cover up the fact that the plot was just a basic revenge plot, and there's really not any character development. Now, granted, the action sequences were excellent. There were some moments that I laughed because they made fun of Ryan Reynolds' career and the whole Green Lantern thing. That's and funny. They did do some things that were funny.
I've not seen it yet.
But there's a lot of things I don't think need to be there.
I will see it. But when I do, most likely I'll borrow it from a friend where I can either fast forward through things or whatever.
Oh, it'll sneak stuff up on you. Yeah, I will not look at Dr. Leslie Tompkins from Gotham the same way again, because now I have had I saw a lot more of her than I need to. We'll use the word explicit because I'm trying to keep a family friendly show.
Yes, and that's
so I can't talk too much about the movie. But now I think one of the main reasons it has made that movie is not so much because they managed to get an R rating.
Yeah.
But because they were trying to stay true to what the character was. So people who are rabid fans of Deadpool got what they wanted from the character.
See, but I personally...
And I think if they just make movies that stay true to who the characters are supposed to be, the fans will go crazy and go for it. And you can make plenty of money in their movie studios.
Only send this back to Zack Snyder before Man of Steel was made. Now, don't get me wrong. Yes. I don't hate Man of Steel, but to me, the biggest problem with Man of Steel is that almost none of the characters were true to the characters in the comic book. And I'm not
Although I liked the actor for Superman.
I love the actor for Superman. He did great for what he was supposed to do.
Right.
He was supposed to be whiny and piney and not Superman.
Yeah.
But that's the problem I had with it. Same with Kevin Costner did good with what he was supposed to do, but that was not Jonathan Kent.
Yeah.
And I mean, that's just how it is. But that being said, I am looking forward to the new film. Except, to me, Superman has always supposed to have been the Boy Scout, and Batman is supposed to be the moody, broody,
The Dark Knight.
Yeah, poor little me, Brucey. And I, by the way, love both of them.
Yes.
But I'm more of a Superman man, only because of the spirit of him. But that's the problem I have when they change it. I don't think they should have an R rating. I think that they should stick to something that the whole family can watch.
Yeah.
Because kids are going to want to go see it because of the comic book.
Eric actually showed me a very, really, really good article and talked about, you know, like during the Frank Miller age and some comics that did kind of push to try to be more grown up, and actually linked it to where, you know, their comic sales went down for a while.
Yeah.
Because there is that element to comics that is a little bit childish and silly because, all right, Batman has got a secret hidden layer underneath his building. It's a little silly.
Yeah. Well,
but that's part of it. Yeah. And he dresses like a bat. That's little bit of fun that is the childish nature of it that is still appealing to an adult because we find that fun. It's that fantasy.
You have to be able to escape.
Right. It's the escapism. And I think Disney with Marvel has been doing great with Marvel Studios. And what they've done with characters by keeping it to where it's enough where you could take a kid to and they can still enjoy it, but yet it's still grown up enough, you know, like the Muppets. It's grown up enough, but yet still the kids can, you know, you can go the whole family.
Go a little too far with that even, but they haven't gone so far.
Yeah. There's a line you got to know. It's like, okay, well, if we cross this, then parents are not going to want their kids to watch this.
Punisher films so far, most of them have not been good, and part of the problem is they go way too far. Now, I think that you can have Punisher, yes, the man who's shooting, killing, even cursing.
We'll see how they do in the Netflix with Daredevil.
Even though I know that he'll curse, I guarantee you that. I guarantee there'll be violence, but there is a line. You can know that he's killing someone without seeing brains.
You don't have to splatter all over the screen in order to show it.
And like I said, I won't even talk about the cursing because, I mean, maybe they feel they have to do that. I don't know. But as far as the violence itself, you don't have to show blood and guts in order to us to know that he just shot the guy's heart out.
Yeah. You know? Alfred Hitchcock knew sometimes is what you don't see that is more intense.
It's the same thing they did with Steven Spielberg did, partially because they couldn't afford it.
With Jaws, yes. Jaws. Oh, that first scene, so scary because you can't see what's happening.
Have you ever seen that when they drew out the screenplay for it, when they drew it all out, originally, what it was supposed to be was a shark was supposed to jump
come up,
out of the water, pull her down. But
it was
far more scary that you couldn't see.
That you couldn't just see it.
There somewhere.
Yeah. When she has that first pull down, you're like, oh no. You
can never outdo someone's imagination.
Yes.
It can't be done.
Yes.
At least not mine.
Yep. And yeah, there's no way really we could ever see Superman though in an R-rated film. So
no.
I still am of the notion, although I did love Days of Future Past, and although there are some things with Apocalypse that make me wonder if they've gone too far with some stuff, I still want to see X-Men Apocalypse, but I'd still love to see that back in the hands of Marvel Studios.
Yeah, me too.
And I still love everything Marvel Studios have done, and my top movie coming is going to be Captain America Civil War.
Yeah, well, I tell you, there's a lot of them I want to see, and that definitely looks good.
Oh, yeah.
It definitely looks good. I'm hoping that Marvel gets the rights to Fantastic Four, because
yes,
that should be the Fantastic Four should be involved with all the space stuff.
Can you see the Fantastic Four and the Guardians of the Galaxy together? Yes. Would be so cool.
Absolutely, the villain
and some Skrulls back in there. Get a Skrull Kree war start happening. The Guardians of the Galaxy and Fantastic Four caught in the middle.
That'd be great.
Oh.
I hope someday.
Nerding out. Yeah, there's so many things that could happen if they could get it all under one roof. Or at least get Fox to play ball.
Yeah.
I love that Sony, I understand wanting to keep Spider-Man.
Yeah.
But I love that they decided, you know what? We want to be part of the Marvel Cinematic Universe. Let's work together. Great idea. Yeah.
So,
make it part of it. And so please make a great Spider-Man. They've still not shown anything in the Civil War. I'm just going to be excited that we have a Spider-Man, even if it's a teenager again.
Well, you know, do you think that we're going to have a Iron Spider in this film?
No.
Oh, that would be great if they did.
That would be kind of cool, but they need to start establishing, you know, and I know that they don't want to have him reveal himself as Peter Parker.
Yep.
So we don't know what role Spider-Man is going to play in this. Now, there has been some rumors that there's going to be a controversial ending, which could be, you know, maybe Captain America, you know, in the comic books, Captain America was shot and there was an assassination that didn't quite work because the Super Soldier Serum did bring him back. But I don't think they can do that. Because he is slated for the Avengers Infinity War.
Yeah.
So I kind of wondered if, well, that'd be controversial if you shoot him, you know, and then the Winter Soldier becomes the new Captain America. Falcon, who is the current. I'd want to see Winter Soldier do it because that was how they went. And because I love the Falcon as the Falcon and his wings. He's just awesome.
It'd be a great actor.
I'm loving Anthony Mackie as the Falcon. He's so cool.
That's great.
So, overall, I'd say, if they start pushing towards an R-rate, I wouldn't worry, parents with your kids. Disney and Marvel Studios, I don't think, will ever cross that line.
Let's not pray and hope not.
Yeah. Because I think they know, I mean, it's still being, Disney, granted, has had some outside companies like Miramax that they've done some R-rated stuff. But doing something like this, I mean, this would be like almost going for a Star Wars movie that they had to push to go R-rated. Yeah. They know it would be stupid. They know it would, they would completely lose their audience.
They would most definitely be taking money from out of their own pockets.
Yes, it would be.
And you might
think, you make more money if the entire family can go, because that's four or five tickets compared to that one or two tickets.
That's more butter popcorn. That's more pop. I mean, honestly.
Well, that's for the theaters. That's how they make their money.
But that being said, one thing being said, you get more people. And the parents are forced to buy more tickets. I mean, that's just how it is.
Yep. So I wouldn't worry about there that suddenly we're going to have an R-rated Avengers. I don't think that's ever going to happen. Okay, so
I hope not.
Yeah. But that's what we think.
You bet. That's our opinion.
That's our opinion. And we're right most of the time, I think. If you don't think we're right, well, you know what? Send us feedback. Tell us how we're wrong. There you go.
Thank you.
Before we go, I want to give a big shout out to Disney Indiana and congratulate them for 200 episodes. I recorded a quick segment with them, so go check it out, disneyindiana.com. They are on iTunes. Make sure you subscribe and listen to them. You've probably heard their ads and heard them on the show many times, but go check it out. I recorded a segment, Lost Boy and Eric Guy together. It will be on that show. Also, I was basically sending feedback to Techno Retro Dads, but it's kind of a long segment. I suspect they'll be playing it this week. Go check them out and hear what I had to say as a response to their episode about the 50th anniversary of the Monkees, which go back and listen to last week's episode if you didn't hear it, if you were at all a fan of the Monkees. I had a pretty good follow-up about that. That's, I think, the precursor or the follow-up to the Monkees, really, are another band called the Aquabats. And so I sent them a quick file about that, which they'll probably be airing this week. So go and check that out as well. I would also like to remind you all to check out our YouTube channel, where I have been doing a lot of toy box reviews for the Disney Infinity 3.0 and all the different toy box creations. I've been trying to, as best I can, keep up with some of the different challenges that they've put out and what people have made. I'm also going to feature some toy boxes that maybe are not getting the attention of some of the other ones that you might enjoy. It's been really kind of fun to just record a little gameplay and tell everybody what I think. I actually received a contact from DizExplorer03 that I reviewed one of his boxes, which was actually a pick of the week on the Disney Infinity. They have their own Toy Box TV that you can watch through the game or on their YouTube channel. You go and check it out. But he actually got to see that video, so I've actually managed to make contact with him. And on his, he's got a YouTube channel as well, and he shares a lot of interesting tips for how you can make a better toy box. I think I'm going to try to maybe have him on the show sometime to kind of share some of that information. He's done some really, really great stuff, and he's got some really great ideas, and I'm really ashamed that he is willing to share some of how he designs toy boxes. You can also get a preview of his toy box on a lot of his videos. So definitely go and check that out. But that will do it for this week. Thank you for listening to the Neverland Podcast.
We invite you back next week for more fun and adventure.
Until then, remember to keep a pixie in your pocket.
It's that young at heart, positive attitude that you can share with others.
And remember to visit our website at neverlandpodcast.com.
There you can find links to our news page,
a link to visit our shop,
and much more.
And please feel free to leave us a voicemail at 816-226-6492.
Or email us at podcast@neverlandpodcast.com.
If you email us a Lost Boy
or Pixie
nickname with a reason why you chose that name, you can become an official Neverlander.
Girls are too clever to get lost, so we are naturally magical pixies.
And be sure to follow us on Twitter at NeverlandPcast.
And like our Neverland Podcast fan page on Facebook.
We also have a group on Facebook for you to join.
We also appreciate your support in keeping the Neverland Podcast up and running.
Visit patreon.com/neverlandpodcast to donate to keeping the pixie dust alive.
Copyright content featured on the Neverland Podcast is copyright of their respective creators and used under fair use license.
All original content is copyright of Blue Man Productions.
God bless.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Coriant. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.